You're listening to Blueprint for Living, and for Sense of Place, we like people to take us to somewhere that matters to them. And often when you talk to a retiree, a fundamental part of their plan in retirement is they're going to travel, they're going to get away, they're going to see the world. And the retiree that we have as our guest today is no exception. He spent 16 years in the Senate, so I think it's reasonable to say that Bob Brown had earned a chance to get away. But for Sense of Place, he wanted to take us to a place that inspired some of the travel that he's doing now and inspired so much more. He's taking us to Ura Ura, his property in the Liffey Valley. Bob, you're just bringing out a new book called Green Nomads, which is your photographic record of a 19,000-kilometre journey you've undertook. Are you tired of travel at this point?
Oh, no, not at all. I took that trip with partner Paul. We'd been unable to take any great long holidays. We had some good ones and some good bushwalks while I was in the Senate. So after that, the opportunity, he's a farmer, between the last of summer shearing and the feeding out in winter, there's 3 months tucked in there for our southern autumn, to go travelling, driving to the bush heritage properties on the mainland was compelling, and we had a great time. He's great with the camp oven, and so we had some great meals right out in the wilds as well. But bush heritage began at Ura Ura, my little old house under the Great Western Tiers in the Liffey Valley, which is 50 kilometres southwest of Launceston. And that's where we spent our first night on the trip before crossing Bass Strait to that 3 month travels in the outback of Australia. Very contrasty, because the mountain there at Liffey is very often got snow on top or there's frost on the meadow, and we were headed for the red, intense, hot and flies of the outback. But it was a good setting off point in so many ways.
Well, as you say, the whole bush heritage movement kicked off there. I want you to take us to your first trip to the property that was to become your own and then to become heritage. It's November 1973, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I'd come to Launceston the year before as a fill-in doctor for 3 months. But I drove off the ferry at Devonport and over the Central Plateau and stayed the night at the Ewes Hotel and sent a card back to my parents in New South Wales saying, I'm home. I don't know what they thought of that, but I suppose they thought their son's settling down at last. And a year later, I was driving up to the Liffey Falls, one of the most beautiful little waterfalls in Australia, to see if the track was clear for friends coming from Sydney. And on the way back down the road, old Frank Page was putting his cows across the road, and I said, excuse me, sir, any houses for sale here? I'd spotted this little white cottage under Taititikatika, which is on the maps as Dry's Bluff. And he said, oh, yeah, the white house up the road was for sale, but I think it's been sold. So I felt the blood draining out of my bones. I just missed out on this little treasure, but I drove back up, and there was the goodly John and Stephanie Dean, who'd owned the place, saying, yes, we've sold it, but the buyer's bringing his wife up from Hobart next Tuesday, and that'll fix it. So I left my phone number, and on Tuesday, John rang me and said, well, she didn't like the place. She said she's not going to live in a dump like that. And somebody's dump is somebody else's delight. And so I bought this place for the huge price of $8,000 with forest at the back and the river at the front.
How many acres
is in it? It was 10.7 hectares. It's got bigger now.
Wow.
We've handed it across to Bush Heritage, but it was my anchor through all the turmoil of the 7 years campaign for the Franklin, getting into the Tasmanian Parliament. My mother and father came south, and they died during the 1980s. I've had lots of meetings under the walnut tree near the house there, which is pictured in Grey Nomads, for both the Franklin campaign, because it was central in Tasmania. People could come from the northwest coast and Launceston and Hobart for a meeting over the weekend.
Let politics onto the property, even though it was a retreat for you. You used it as a base as well.
Well, I thought I'd be able to sit out there in isolation. There is no electricity these days, and it's beyond phone range or TV reception and so on. But I quickly learnt that the rest of the world comes with you, and I knew too much about what was going on and the impending fate of the Franklin River. And so as a young doctor, I was riding my bicycle 50 kilometres into Launceston. I'd stayed on at the practice. I used to go in for the weekend, and the three doctors there could have the every weekend off. I'd ride my bicycle in and stay at the practice over the weekend and ride home again with a backpack full of groceries on the Mondays and be thinking about life on the planet and so on. But I quickly realised that if you think the rest of the world's going to get better without being involved in that process, you've got to think again. So, yes, I became involved with the United Tasmania Group, which was the world's first Greens Party set up by Dick Jones back in the era of the flooding of Lake Pedder in 1971-2. And then the Wilderness Society, the meeting which decided on its name was held at Uru in the last weekend of June 1976, and then later meetings for the formation of the Australian Greens, and of course Bush Heritage in 1990 was came out of the purchase of two forest blocks in the Liffey Valley. So quite a lot did happen there, but all the time I was rambling through the bush, climbing the bluff, skidding on the icy tarns up there in winter, down by the river looking at the platypuses and the cormorants and the native blackfish and so on. It was just a place of wonderment, and I'm so happy that these days it's a public place, so other people can share a little bit of that wonder.
Even when it was just yours, though, you did have a very clear personal policy of kind of opening the gates and encouraging people in, making it a space that you kind of shared for others. You write really beautifully about it in your memoir that came out, Optimism. And I think the thing about a political memoir is most people go straight to the index to see whether they get a mention. The Liffey gets mentioned 20-odd times. Rupert Murdoch gets mentioned once. Like, this is clearly...
Oh, that's about proportionate, isn't it?
That seems fair.
Well, look,
what is it? Why so magical? Why, unlike that woman coming up from Hobart, did you not go, this is not for me? What spoke to you? Was it the little white house itself? Was it the mountains? Was it the bush?
Well, of course, there was a ready-made shelter which had been built by the original European settlers in 1898 to 1904 off sawn timber sawn on the property. And they had hard times. They had a small mixed farm, as other farmers in this little, hard to get to, remote valley in Tasmania, and the Aboriginal people before them, of course. And there's Aboriginal tools and implements in the caves and overhangs of the Great Western Tiers just above the property. But the mountain above, which is higher than Mount Wellington, Taititikatika, it means high in the clouds, and it's a lyrical Palawa sentence. And the river underneath and the forests in between, and yet these patches of settled farmland. Here's a rapid transition between settled farmland and true wilderness over the back of that mountain. And it was inspiring to me, and it certainly helped urge me on to being an environmentalist, so that other people, beyond my own lifetime, but elsewhere on the planet that we all share, could enjoy something of the wild planet which speaks to the soul and which is the formulator of our physical and spiritual beings. It was endlessly changing. The weather, you know, they say in Tassie, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. But in Liffey, the weather's changing all the time. You can look in the sky and for the next wedge-tail eagle to be floating off, or the white goshawk, or often I'd take the sleeping bag and go and just sleep in the bush up the back, listening to the scurry of animals and listening to the changing bird song from evening through to dawn as various parts of the living ecosystem came alive and then went to sleep again. One night, at a particularly stressful time when I was in the state parliament and with colleagues, we were pushing to enlarge the World Heritage Area, and it was very tough work, and we were copping quite a lot of abuse. I got home and couldn't get to sleep, so put a little pack on my back and in a full moonlight walked up Taititikatika, which is three Empire State Buildings high from the house, and sat there looking out over Tasmania with a few lights still on in the early hours, and then walked back, just arrived back at home as the birds, it was dawn and the birds were starting to sing, and went into a deep, restful sleep. That's what the place does for me.
It's obviously a place of incredible kind of importance to you and a place of retreat and everything else. Was it hard to make the decision to donate it to others? Why did you make that decision back in 2011 to give it to Bush Heritage?
No, look, it was a great pleasure. I firmly believe on us disposing of our property while we're alive to people we love. It's flowers for the living in a way. And I got such joy out of Ora Ora, which is named after the black cockatoo, Aboriginal word for black cockatoo, the screech of the black cockatoo, and that I wanted it to be there for other people to, and stay much as it is. Bush Heritage took it on in 2011. They're into the upkeep of it. They have volunteers. They're looking after it. There's now a car park there, a little footbridge which Paul and I put in across the Liffey River leading up to the property. The trespassers welcome sign is still there nailed on a pole, and people are free to have a picnic, or if they want to take on that trek up the bluff. In my mind's eye, I see people enjoying it 100 or 1,000 years from now. What greater pleasure can you give yourself? So in a way, giving it away has been taking a great pleasure to ourselves, and Paul's been with me all the way in that.
Taking and giving a pleasure and starting a movement with it. And it's nice to know that Dean's Track Up Dries Bluff is now open to all comers. It's a lovely thing. It's been terrific to talk to you today, Bob.
Thank you, Michael.
I've been speaking with Bob Brown, not just a talented politician and keen negotiator of his own real estate deals, but a no mean photographer. The photographs he's taken in his new book, Green Nomads, are gorgeous, and there are links to that up on the website. It's published by Hardy Grant. You're listening to Blueprint for Living with me, Michael Williams, here on RN.
We'll build a sweet little nest somewhere